But if you're able to explain it and it matches with whatever the person seeing the design is thinking, you're on your way. And if you can even go into much detail to say things that they even might not have thought of, extra points be that. Right, so.
All right, guys, welcome to another episode of Junkie Talks. And on today's episode, we're talking about communication in a team. Well, maybe mostly, you know, the tech team and all that, as product designer, but we'll be looking at communicating with other people in your team. But before we do that, let's just get into our stand-up segment. So, how you the watch me? Like, yeah, what did you work on?
What are they work on?
Yeah,
so what I'm working on, or what I'm about to work on, I've been tinkering with the idea to start creating content for YouTube for a long while now, but I just not figured out the right approach to go. I want to do something that is not like very common on YouTube. And one thing I realized is that there isn't a lot of storytelling on YouTube. A lot of it is just the Q&A style, or just the talk about a specific topic style. So one thing I'm tinkering about is do a lot more storytelling about specific design related topics. So for example, something like a splash screen, for example, just an example, right? So for something like that, I'll speak on like the entire history of splash screens, how they came about, the origins basically. So whether they started in the 1900s or whenever they started. And then I'll walk people through the various phases it has been through to the point that we see them now. Because there typically is a lot of history with that. So yeah, those are the stuff I'm going to talk about on my YouTube channel. I don't know when. I have the script ready for the first couple of episodes. But it's just the editing and everything. And I think this Sora AI thing is going to solve a lot of my problems. So yeah, hopefully let's see how it goes. Yeah, that's pretty much about it.
Yeah, I want to sleep, so hold on. All right, communication. Working. I'm a nice boy, I know. Working in a team. The ladies, not the ladies, but they say communication is key. You go feel open a lot.
You laugh.
Tell me, you see the face they make. Please, let's be serious.
Hurry.
Communication be key, right? If you are working in a team where you have people that understand different languages, right? How do you ensure that you are communicating well? So whatever you are trying to pass across is understood well. I think this is something that we've touched on, maybe in passing in some of the episodes, right? Me, I won't start for somebody where you know make a start for some. So Sam, I'll start with you.
As we talk different languages and they can't talk to me, make them use Google Translate.
Summarize the question again.
How do you ensure that you're communicating well with some of these people? So maybe you won't pass something over maybe to maybe the product manager, or maybe the product manager is communicating something to you, right? So let's take it from your perspective as a product designer. Maybe you're communicating with a product manager. How do you make sure that whatever you ask, say to them, they understand it well.
Mm-hmm.
They are not speaking, you know, just design languages and things to them. You get me?
Basic English. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. Use basic English. Everybody understands basic English.
Mm-hmm.
So don't try and speak in designer terms, thinking that it will make you sound smart. It won't. It really won't. Especially if they don't understand you. Because then you realize you ask a lot of questions. Not that asking questions is bad, but... Mm-hmm. It just prolongs the whole conversation unnecessarily. Use basic English, simple terms. People will like that much more, right? Because if you do that, and every other person in the team, whenever they are speaking, because they are so much stuck in them within the confines of the role they are in, they'll like to use developer terms or design terms.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are the one that management or PMs always find it easy to speak to and understand things, you realize you'll be the one they always come to. Right? Classic example, I was working with this person, right? And this person was like, they like the fact that whenever like we are talking about stuff, there isn't a lot of back and forth, right? And I'm not like directly, I'm meaning like a consultant, right? And there's someone who was working on the project itself, right? But because I have experience in dealing with these foreigners, not like Ghanaians, like foreign people, when I'm communicating, I know how to go about it. So there is a lot of back and forth. So this person typically likes to have conversations with me, and then I will break it down to whoever needs to. Because I can speak to them in a way that they will understand and they will feel more comfortable to speak to me. And then I can go and speak to the designer or the developer in their own terms, right? So basically understanding the people you are dealing with, knowing how to speak with them, and also speaking in simple terms. If you don't know how to speak with a PM, you don't understand PM terms, speak basic English. That will always win, right? So maybe you have a certain level of experience, maybe you've, and you can relate to PMs better, you know some PM terms, and you really know them, then you can try and speak with them in that way. But if you don't, speak basic English. Everybody has gone to school. You understand it, so, yeah.
Mr. Ainsley.
Mr. Reagan.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm. Why are you arranging handkerchief?
Origami was a demo.
No, I can't do one better. So.
Yeah, I'll be the
person. So, so just like Sam said, know how to communicate with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because definitely some of these terms, Charlie, you know, they need. If I want you to understand me, obviously I need to break it down in such a way that you can understand. So that's why normally analogies make sense when you are trying to break down things, because then you can use this particular environment or whatever for your analogy, and you know that this person understands it that way. Mm-hmm. So let's say if it comes to product and you want to break it down to a dev, right? For a dev, you know normally functionality in a way is how they go about their things. So if you want to talk about user experience with them, you need to find a way to embed it in how they think, right? Mm-hmm. So be it, you know that speed matters, right? Mm-hmm. So if I click on this and it takes quite a longer time for me to get there, definitely would affect the experience, right? So in that case, you can even easily tell them that, I mean, obviously they know, but then sometimes the how you break it down to them for them to understand the consequences of what they are doing kind of helps them also know that, okay, that's how I need to be thinking now. And it helps when they start understanding it from your point of view. You also get them from their point of view. That way communicating becomes like really easy. So for me, I always try to understand where you are coming from, no matter who I'm working with, right? I know where you are coming from. That way, when I'm working with you, I know how to collaborate with you. So even with them, sometimes when I'm working with them, I ask them questions on their proficiency. So are they good at Figma?
Mm-hmm.
Are they good at using this tool? Are they good at, so that I know where to, so when I know that, okay, Figma, they are not really good at it, right? I know how to communicate with them when it comes to collaborating on a particular project.
Okay.
Right? Because some of the things...
They don't go see, yeah.
You get. So understanding where they come from kind of helps you know how you can actually help them or how you can go about your whole collaboration with them. At the end of the day, it boils down to your collaboration, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's collaboration. And communication is one of the factors that can yield a better collaboration. So, like I said, understand it from the other end and try to also speak in a way that they would understand.
I have a question though, but I'll try and frame the question. Well, this question at the time to you, not agenda purposes.
So it'd be agenda. But
you are working in a company and then maybe they are stakeholders, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you are trying to maybe come up with certain solutions in terms of design, but you don't know how to, I don't want to say articulate or maybe communicate to work, but how does one designer maybe position themselves in a way that they can communicate what to stakeholders so say their voice will be heard? I don't know if it matters. Because you know, stakeholders have what their business mind.
Management.
Yes, management.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. So maybe they are more business-minded. They are looking at the higher level things, right? But then maybe from the designer where you are sitting, you are seeing something different, right? So how do you communicate? I don't know if the word is communicate, but how do you pass that information to them or propose to them that, okay, I won't make you do this, but then for them to also agree with you from wherever they are. Do you get where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I get you. So I'm going to try and break it apart a bit. So one example is, like I said, if you're trying to get their buy-in, management buy-in to undertake certain things within a company.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like you mentioned, managements are mainly concerned or typically concerned with the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to you to know how to align whatever it is you're doing
mm-hmm.
with that bottom line. I think in previous episodes, I don't know exactly what, but that's when I mentioned that to be a great designer,
mm-hmm.
you need to leave the confines of Figma. And the reason why I always say that is that in any role, not just design,
mm-hmm.
if you look at it, the higher you go, the less you do the technical work.
True.
The higher you go, the less you code. The higher you go, the less you design. Whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you need to think more strategically. So for your voice to be heard in such situations mm-hmm. as a designer, it's important to understand like the strategy the company is working towards, the long-term goals, the short-term goals,
mm-hmm.
What they intend to achieve this year, this quarter, this next 3 years, mm-hmm. next 5 years. Maybe it's a startup, so they want to raise seed funding because that's going to be key. You need to understand that. You don't need to know the very specifics, but okay. you need to understand, have a fair overview of what they are trying to achieve,
mm-hmm.
right? Once you know that, then you know, okay, these are the things that they are mainly concerned with. Because mm-hmm. in a startup, the CEO doesn't really, won't typically come down to come and look at designs for review or critiques. They are more high level,
mm-hmm.
right? So they will probably only see the CEO if it's like a very, very high project,
mm-hmm.
and then you are done, and then the ops, design, engineering are making like a final demo. That's when you see the CEO,
mm-hmm.
right? So if you are presenting in that point, that's like one good way to let your voice be heard. So you can say you made these decisions because of these things that are coming up in the pipeline. So you can say, for example, maybe you wanted to go with this approach,
mm-hmm.
but then you know that based on our current circumstance, we don't have the funding yet, or we don't have the right resources yet.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But then you did it in this way, just so it will be able to, it's basically sets up this feature for what is to come in the later down in the pipeline. So that one, they know you are thinking long term. You are not just looking at the PRD that they've given you within that small context. Like you've gone past that, right? And also, I mean, for example, I think it was Thursday or so, where I work,
mm-hmm.
there was this meeting between like product review meeting, basically. So it was between design, engineering, ops. We were talking about how we can get more leads,
mm-hmm.
basically. Right, and that is where your value as a designer can really shine. Not as a designer necessarily, but as a team member.
Okay.
Because that's what they need to see you as, right? They don't just need to see the guy who designs. Because as we already know, people have different perceptions of design. So that's where your value will really shine, because you can have conversations like that. That has nothing to do with Figma. It has nothing to do with icons. It has nothing to do with colors. They are talking about strategy, like proper strategy, things that will move the bottom line, things that most likely the CEO will be there. So are you going to say, okay, I'm just a designer, so let me just listen.
Let me just keep quiet.
Okay. Or I'm just an engineer, so let me just keep quiet and write my code, whatever they could talk. If there's a feature they want to build, they'll bring, if they are ready to build a feature, I'll go build for them.
Yeah.
That is like a crucial point. You can let your voice be heard. So for me, stuff like that, I contribute. And also it helps because, like I said, I'm very entrepreneurial, and also like experiences within the Design Junkies,
mm-hmm.
it helps. It has opened my eyes to a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
So stuff like this, I can contribute very well,
mm-hmm.
right? So I can speak on strategy, and you won't even realize I'm a designer,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So again, don't be too, as a designer, again, if you're coming up, it's fine. Maybe a lot of these things are very mid-level or high there, but just build yourself up. But just know that if you really want to be considered great, or be regarded as a top designer, especially in a startup,
mm-hmm.
these are the things that you need to be thinking about. Don't just always think about, okay, what button can we use here? Or how can we make this flow to be nice? I mean, you can design good flows, it will make you a great designer at any level. But really, what will really get you to that point where you don't necessarily have to design to call yourself a designer? Right? Like, you should be able to speak on strategy. So whenever the ops is talking about the strategy they want, you can also speak on design strategy. And that has nothing to do with Figma. You get it. I don't know if you like you did.
Yeah, I get it. So, well, from the beginning, I said you need to leave the confines of the tool you are using, understand where the business wants to get, what their goals are, and then pick it from there. So when you're communicating, you can now communicate your design decisions based off where they are trying to.
Exactly, what they are trying to do. So even if you are designing, you can design things in a way that will make, that will basically set up future projects.
Future projects, right.
Because it's going to be an ecosystem. You don't just design features in isolation. They have to connect to something. Right, but yeah, maybe at that point it's not feasible for that thing to happen.
Okay,
so you can set up something that will make it easier for it to happen when it's, we get to that point where there's enough resources, else you'll have to rebuild everything, and you don't want to be that guy who every year you are rebuilding stuff. Like, it's just a waste of money, waste of time.
True.
And yeah, the company might not realize, the management might not realize it, a few of them might, but they might not realize it, but all they realize is that they keep rebuilding things. I have experience from that. I've seen that. Everything I'm saying is purely based on experience. They keep rebuilding. They are not sure why. They don't really know why they are rebuilding. And mainly because they don't understand the core problem they are trying to address. But that's even a different conversation. But if you are a designer and you know all these things, you can be able to communicate it clearly. And if they are willing to listen, you shine or more.
Looking at where the business is trying to get to, do you think managers are influenced by enough research data from your experience? Or they don't care?
Oh, they care. As long as it affects their business, they care. So if, let's talk about bias, right? Definitely there are biases, like their biases will come into play. But then they can't, you know, data, you can't ignore them. If they can see, okay, this thing is affected, like, definitely they will buy into whatever you are proposing. So normally for such people, I need to back it, not just I feel like, or I think, or intuitive wise, I think we should do it this way. Right, you need to back it up with something. So I remember recently, like one of the features we are working on, it was, I did this user testing, card sorting, right? So then we wanted to find, it was about the navigation. We had this set of items, right? We wanted to categorize them. Initially, I went with what I think might be right. And they were also coming up with what they think is right. And we're like, okay, you know what? Make it test. We tested it. And funny enough, the result that was coming, you know,
none of you safe.
So when I did it, I did it based on the results. So later on, one of the stakeholders came in and was like, nah, this thing needs to be here. You know what I do? I just reply, so okay, based on the link in the share hub, blah blah blah. That's why I did this way. So you go check with, okay. That you end for there. Because now I have something to back why I'm, imagine that I don't get. At that point, I'll be forced to food.
Because you don't have anything to buy.
Like, nah, the food say it be this way. Do you get it? So normally you need to know when you need to come in with data to back it, and when, because you need to also get to a point where they trust your instinct now.
Exactly.
And if you are not there yet, you need to back it up with something strong. Do you get it? So even if Sam was talking about getting to like senior side. Let's talk about just junior. Junior designer, then they see you as, in quotes, yes, I'm a master. So they do all the strategies, they come up with, oh, you do this for us, design this for us, right? Now, for you to stand out in the communication bit, right? What you need to be, that's why the last episode, I was like, ask questions.
Okay.
Because that'd be the only way you can get to the roots, cause of the problem, what they are trying to do.
Yeah.
And based on that, you can even suggest solutions that they might not even be thinking of. But because now you have an idea of what they were trying to do, you can say, oh, if there's what we are trying to go, we can do it this way. At that point, they'll not see you as just someone who takes orders and do you get it? Because bear in mind that at the end of the day, you still present your design to a supervisor, your supervisor, mm-hmm. be it a lead designer or whatever, mm-hmm. you still need to back up your reasons for doing it in a certain way. And if you are backing it up, definitely that's where your understanding of the whole project comes into play.
Okay.
Because then if it's to, okay, we realize that people are dropping off at this particular point in time, right? Like this flow, right? People know they end the flow, they know they size. So at that point, if you are designing, you're a junior designer, and you are designing a new solution for that, be it onboarding or whatever, and you come up with a design, you need to back it up with why you think this is solving this problem. But at the end of the day, if they come where you don't know, say, oh, the reason why we did even rebuild this was to solve this particular issue, which is people, like the churn rate over this.
Yeah.
How you explain
that? Explain that, okay.
Do you get it?
Yeah.
So for juniors, me, the senior, they are not, me, I they talk about it because they're seniors to you for understand the business part of it. But for juniors, what you can also do is ask them a lot of questions to influence the way you go about your like explanation when it comes to design review and all that.
Okay, so I mean, you put a talk about understanding the stakeholders, their business, backing your design decision with mm-hmm. research and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it always, I mean, in terms of articulating your designs, maybe you are presenting to some of these people, is it always, every decision you take in terms of design, is it always backed with data or research?
Not every time. See, I think in previous episodes, you spoke about like being able to design, is it intuitively, like mm-hmm. you know what to do, you know the right things to do.
Mm-hmm.
We gave an analogy of the circle, Dier Bar, and Messi, Ronaldo thing
mm-hmm.
we're talking mm-hmm. about. So, like when you are in the flow, in the states, you mm-hmm. can just design, and then afterwards, then you can give. Well, for example, in my case, I remember when I was interviewing at a place where I currently am. He gave me a take-home assignment.
Mm-hmm.
I designed it. I didn't think about it too much,
mm-hmm.
but it was later when I was about to present it on a call, like a day before, then I just took my iPad, look at the design, then note, if I have my iPad, it'd probably be there. Like I noted everything down, mm-hmm. down to like the color choice of the background, the white, why I use the white, why I use every certain color. I explain every, I don't know, I feel like I tell people before,
no.
I explain everything into detail to the one of the like management people there during the that interview phase,
mm-hmm.
and then Anoko was like, "Wow, he never come across any designer where they think like the way I do before." And even that call said, "The call, I think like I tell people before, the call cuts, and then he gave me his number, and then we're speaking for like about an hour, just the chats,
mm.
So when you're in the flow, of course, you won't consciously think about these tiny, tiny decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But because you've done it over and over again, you intuitively know, right? You know what contrast is. You don't have to think about contrast too much.
True.
Right? You know that if you're designing a form, you need to add like error states.
Mm-hmm.
Right? These are things that a lot of people will forget, but you know that this has to be there. Right? If you are designing, for example, if you're designing a card and mm-hmm. I make the background, the card on top of it white and the background like a little bit gray.
Gray, yeah.
I can give a reason why, but in the moment, because I've done it over and over again, I don't think about it. But I mean, my reason is because of light, the simulacrum lights.
Okay.
Right, so the elements closer to the light source, which is your eye, will obviously have a lot more light shined on it. So that is why it is whiter, which is the card. And the one, the background is grayer. So like these are the things that you can, you think about and it's in your, what's this thing called? Subconscious, if that's even the right term. Right, so yeah, whilst you're in a flow state, you probably won't think about it unless them heavy decisions, right? Like in terms of the flow and all that, those stuff, how they connect. You say, oh, this thing, if you do it this way, it might work because of A, B, and C. Or I tested this and the accessibility on this, the contrast and everything, it doesn't make sense. So I have to change it. Like those are the big, major, quote unquote, decisions. But for the tiny details, it comes to you naturally. And that is. And that's what matters the most. And a lot of people are not able to explain those tiny details. Because if you're able to explain it, you'll get a lot of points. Because a lot of people will just say, and I use red, and oh, I put this icon here, and why did you use red? Like, why did you put this icon here? Why did you do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think the last previous episode, you were saying that you've done this for a while, that if you see someone in design, you can break it down. And then you see if the person can also explain it the way you think it was.
Mm-hmm.
was it yesterday? I see some Kofi UI.
Yeah, I saw that you reposted it.
I see the recording and the swipe thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it made a lot of sense to me. As to whether he will be able to explain it in that way for it to make sense, maybe during an interview or something, that's a different conversation, right? But if you're able to explain it and it matches with whatever the person seeing the design is thinking, you're on your way. And if you can even go into much detail to say things that they even might not have thought of, extra points be that, right? So yeah, you don't always have to think about it in the flow, like whilst you're in the States, but it's good to know what it's about so you can defend it.
So if I'm if I'm communicating that or presenting that to a higher level person in the company,
mm-hmm.
Because I mean, we're talking about research, mm-hmm. data mm-hmm. and all that. So, mm-hmm. okay, I did this, like your scenario. Mm-hmm. The CEO or whoever said this, and then you just add the link.
Mm-hmm.
But in the case where it's based off maybe certain things, how do you communicate that for them to buy it in? Because then at that point, I feel like it's just
your
take on okay. it. Do you get it? Mm-hmm.
So okay. another, that is also crucial, right? So at that point, right, if you don't have any solid data, it's good to clarify
mm-hmm.
and make it clear that these are your assumptions. Don't say, oh, you are doing this because you think this is what the person will do. Like, you are not certain, but you said these are your assumptions based on maybe what you've seen in the past or what other patterns you've seen in other places. That is what you say.
Okay.
So then they know, okay, you are saying this because on this website, this is what they use, and this website is pretty much successful, or they are known for that pattern, right? So bringing it here, maybe our context, you need to look into a bit deeper to know if it will actually fit into our context well, but this is why you did it, mm-hmm. right? You need to have a conversation with them, right? Don't feel like you have to know everything.
Okay.
They don't expect you to know everything.
Of course.
They don't expect you to know everything, right? So if you are making an assumption, make it. If there's a reason why you think this assumption will work, state it,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you should be fine. They will give you the ideas, and don't feel like they are attacking you or they are making you feel like, oh, you don't know what you're doing. It's just an idea. Then you say, oh, this is a very nice idea, actually. I didn't think about it. I'll try it out, and then we'll see
how,
if it works. Fantastic. You didn't nobody get fight. But if they are trying to chip in, and then you keep holding your ground and say, no, this is what will work, you're just setting yourself up unnecessarily for a lot of fights in the future. And that will make them see you in a bad light.
Yeah.
You will be the person they don't like, or the person who is too difficult to work with.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You wanted to say something on that?
Yeah. So, the thing is, normally, that's why I always say, if you have your fundamentals covered,
mm-hmm.
exchange rate will expose you. We'll go. Hey, Barry is here.
Barry, how you think of some of these things?
Man, it's just that you don't know anything about this thing.
Oh, no, so no, no, no.
Like, we make too serious. I have to crack it.
It's shocking. You.
Now, where then my mind goes?
I don't think about this thing. Sorry.
So, your fundamentals, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, if you know, like, the contrast thing,
mm-hmm.
if you know, it not be now you they explain, give, why they use contrast? Why did they use this particular one? Okay, red means danger. That's why I like.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's why I said your understanding of the project would help you explain your design decisions. So if you are a junior self and you are coming up with a sign up flow, right?
Mm-hmm.
How users go sign up,
mm-hmm.
and you arrange them in a certain way,
mm-hmm.
and I come and I'm like, okay, why didn't you do it this way?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I feel like this one will work. Mm-hmm. At that point, I will feel, oh, then do it this way. Do you get it? But then, I think I like the part where you talk about thinking in systems, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you look at the system as a whole, because there are patterns that are in the product that follows that particular thing you are going with, like the consistency. So I remember recently, I was also working on something like that, where it was like a header. And I place the buttons at the far right.
Mm-hmm.
And the PM was like, why I put for there? Mm-hmm. I feel do I'm this way. What I do be say, consistency. We are going for consistency. That is one thing we really preach for there. And I give them pages where we have similar style. Thing,
so, okay.
Do you get it? So at that point, although it's not like research in quotes, like the way we did think, but then I have a pattern to back that particular claim. So, like I said, sometimes when you're don't just design because you feel like it should be done this way. Okay, I'm doing it this way. Why am I doing it this way? Because definitely they'll ask you why you are doing it this way. And there is no one solution to a problem. This thing I always talk. You go, if you do two screens, it will solve the same problem, but different approach.
Okay.
Do you get it?
Yeah, I get it.
Solving the same problem, different approach. So like Sam said, assumptions. So if you are going with this approach, you need to stay why you are going with this approach and not this approach. Oh, this be the assumption I made on this particular flow.
Mm-hmm.
This be how you will go about them. Recently, some opt-in, better opt-in be than we they do. Then my assumption be say, you will come, you upgrader. There's this part you need to go to opt-in for that beta access. So you go get that feature. Mm-hmm. Just like the way Figma they do. You say Figma, you go the settings, I go
feature,
all that thing. Mm-hmm. And that was my assumption, making that whole flow. But then the PM comes say, nah, because we didn't need testing, like we didn't need actual feedback,
mm-hmm.
we didn't want to make them default in that case. So at that point, my assumption all be invalid because now this be the assumption now. Make we don't want, like, this be the reason why we go with the default opt-in. We want feedback on this particular feature,
mm-hmm.
right? So now, when I was designing the thing, I made it in such a way that it account for default experience.
Mm-hmm.
So then if it's default experience, how then do we let people know where they need to go to access this feature, where they need to go to make a feedback after mm-hmm. using this idiot?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So like I said, always it boils down to your understanding of the project as a whole. It doesn't necessarily mean you need to have like a research back in it.
Mm-hmm.
If you know why you are going for a certain pattern, you need to stick with that. Okay, this will be the assumption I make for this flow. If you're explaining, go with that. At the end of the day, know that they'll ask you why you did it this way.
Yes,
so if I abuse you, then you still, your only answer be, oh, this is the work. What should they mean by this is the work? Okay, then do it this way. Do you get? So sometimes you need to understand, okay, give them the context. I mean, like Sam said, it's not like sometimes then they bash you for your work done. Yeah. It's just that they have another, like, of going about it. So it could be that my solution to be right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So me, sometimes me, I know they fire certain things. If you they talk, then I just go do show, give you. So you go see, okay.
Because
sometimes they need to also see. If you can't tell me, so this color no they work, where I feel, say, I explain, give you, I will be long. I just go do, put them side to side. Mm-hmm. Judge for yourself.
Mm-hmm. So when you feel like
because sometimes you know it's too mm-hmm. bad. And there's been cases where me self, then I did defend. We are do side to side. That's as I see.
Nice
now,
say
these the people, one... them, I won't be right.
Okay.
But then if you have this ego that you are always right, you're a designer, you are always right, that'd be where this thing, like standing on your ground, knowing that, oh, this be my solution. You for stick to this solution. No. So yeah, find the balance. Go with the assumptions. If there are no research back in it, go with the assumption. And also, like I said, the understanding of the project
mm-hmm.
kind of helps you even come up with assumptions in the first place. Mm-hmm. So yeah, me, that'd be what I usually do.
At the piece of everything. I mean, the question I asked Sam was personal, the one about the stakeholders thing, because I feel like some designers have said that usually in a company they don't get their voice heard because of where they are and then where they're
this was also something I wanted to touch on.
I feel like with that one, it also has to do with the culture of the company a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because if the culture in the company, they don't naturally like
mm-hmm.
people who are up there, not necessarily like management level, but people who are in there, this, you know, there's managerial and there's management, right?
Mm-hmm.
People who are like, you know, senior managers, they don't like to... Why do you laugh?
Good.
Why do you laugh? They don't like to listen to, like, the people who are juniors because they feel like they've seen it all, and what do you know? You don't know past them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if that culture has been ingrained in them, they'll behave like that without even knowing it, and automatically shut down the juniors, even if the juniors have like new fresh ideas that will push things forward.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, that's what I mean. I think not because like I like working in startups a lot because I realize it allows me to shape the culture. Right. If you go in a big organization, many employees
they've already established.
Nothing you go talk because the hierarchy alone before it gets to the top.
Yeah.
But if it's a startup, you have like a lot of room to shape the culture. Right, so me naturally, you guys already know me, I'm very hands off, and I want you to run things and let's see.
Mm-hmm.
Right, if it's going too off,
mm-hmm.
I'll just go nudge you into the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Right, make you run things, and that'd be what's where I work now. We have a design intern, even though it's an intern, and they allow him to make you do whatever you want. Right, tell them if you have questions, ask. And if you have if you want to ask someone questions, don't come and ask
you and
so I go and ask them. Speak up. And maybe I'll go back you. That's what like I always say. If you bring it up, I'll go back you. Ah, I'll go back you right now. Right? So they know that this is the person they need to go to. For example, if you're working on a project, I don't want it that you are the one working on the project, they're asking me questions. To you, yeah. Like go and ask the designer. You get to, that's one thing. Even before the intern came in, I pushed constantly. So every time I was speaking, I never referred to myself
mm-hmm.
as I designed it or I designed it. So I always say, if you have questions, go and ask the person who designed it. Obviously, at that point, it was just me. So they'll come to me. But I'm saying that because if it gets to the point where, and we'll get to that point where there'll be lots of designers, don't go to the manager or the design manager because you have that relationship with the person. Go to the person who designed it. Right, and go ask the person questions and let the person handle it. Like, everybody should feel ownership, have ownership over whatever it is
they're doing.
So they can feel like their voice is heard. Right, so again, the culture of the company is very key and it affects a lot of things, not just communication. But if the culture of the company allows people to voice out and allows like juniors to speak in a meeting where the CEO is or other managers are, and even the management encourages people to ask questions. Right, so for example, if they've not heard you speak, they'll call you out. Hey, throughout this call, I never hear say you talk.
They talk yeah.
What do they think? Like, it builds people up, it builds your confidence up, and it allows you to speak more. But if they don't allow that,
it shuts people down.
Yeah, it just shuts you down.
Being able to like speak in meetings, right? Sometimes when we say this, they confuse it. Most people confuse it with the fact that you need to say something.
For saying sake.
But bear in mind that if you talk, we know it makes sense. We're not going to call you again.
Everybody go see.
So normally what I try to do is, before I speak up, I need to have like a solid grasp of what we are discussing.
Perfect.
So that I can contribute meaningfully. Maybe
mm-hmm.
somebody talk, then me too, I come back, and come talk.
What is the same thing. Talk.
Yeah. Unless I get something, add to mm-hmm. what he talk, then I will open my mouth talk. Because at the end of the day, impressions, they count. So if we have like 3-4 meetings, or what you they talk, you don't really get any
sense to the back.
We don't go mind you.
Mm-hmm.
And also about getting the buy-in part where you're a junior, right? You need mm-hmm. to know, aside the culture, you also need to know the people who are like influencing some of these big decisions.
Yeah, very key.
So say you go study, pitch to them rather, because at the end, if you back at the wrong door, so you know, go yield any better food, give you they get
office politics,
office like you for understand. Yeah. It's there, it you will always
to,
be there.
You need to know how to play it,
yes, it will always be there. So, you need to know how you go collaborate with them. You know, so now this person where they pull the strings, so find a way to get the influence of that person. So, see, you know, say if you talk, this person day your back. At the end, it'd be those people that will push you to that realm where, okay, now you're on the big table now, you two now, you can contribute meaningfully. So that'd be how me normally I'd approach things. If I do office settings or any place, I'd try to see the big players who gets access to them. Mm-hmm. Then I try break them down to the lowest point where I go feel tapping. Mm-hmm. Then start to build from there. So it gets to that point where now they will be pushing you, and now you become part of the big players in it. That'd be how I did. So even reaching out to people itself, that'd be how I did. Before I will reach out to the top mm-hmm. dog, I will see who they my league, where I will feel get access to, then start to build from there. So yeah, that's how you play.
Shooting your shot.
Yeah.
All right, Charlie. I think that would be all for this episode in terms of communication. Me and Gwada. Understand everything that's going on in the company and then ask questions.
If you had one thing.
One thing?
Yeah, no, it'd be key.
All right.
So, for example, I mean, we've spoken about communicating within a team, but also communicating your value maybe when you're looking for jobs or something during an interview. That's one thing we've not really touched on. Mm-hmm. But one approach, I'm just going to touch on it briefly and then you can go read on it. One approach, and I've used it, that's what I use. It's called a STAR method.
Yeah,
you mentioned
it. Yeah, I think it's situation, task, action, results. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can use that approach to communicate. Maybe when you want to make an analogy or say something from real experience. If you've listened to this episode, for example, you realize I use that a lot. So just read on it, and it'll help you know how to communicate your value during interviews, and yeah, in other places as well. But yeah, that's basically it.
All right, Charlie. We'll see you in the next one.
Peace.
Beg, subscribe.